Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today, it's Pedro the Lion, the brainchild of David Bazan. Although David's put out solo records pretty consistently over the last decade, he released his first new album as Pedro the Lion in 15 years. It's called Phoenix. David lived in Phoenix until he was 12, and on this album he traces childhood memories and wrestles with what he calls getting into debt with himself, meaning bottling up his feelings. He's working on reconciling that stuff now.
If you're going back and trying to get out of debt to yourself, what you need is kindness.
David was raised evangelical Christian. He's grappled with his own faith for a long time, but says he really questioned the religious stories he grew up with when his daughter was born. He was struck by her innocence.
It really disrupted the story of original sin for me.
David says Phoenix is the first in a series of 5 Pedro the Lion albums he wants to make based on places that he's lived. As you'll hear, a lot of the stories on this record are personal and come from David's childhood, including the first song he performs for us, inspired by a yellow bike he got for Christmas when he was 5. It's called Yellow Bike.
On a desert Christmas morning, 1981, 1 month shy of 6 years old, in the Valley of the Sun. My first two-wheel bicycle stood by the tree, my heart thumping in my chest, and though I tried, I couldn't ride one.
Trade my kingdom for someone to ride. Yellow Bike, performed live for World Cafe by Pedro the Lion. David Bazan from Pedro the Lion, welcome to World Cafe.
Hi.
Hi. So this is your first album with Pedro the Lion for 15 years, and you've made this big giant promise of five albums that will each be based around places that were important to you, and Phoenix is the first. So tell me why you wanted to go back to Phoenix first.
It's where I was born and spent the first 12 years of my life, so it feels like my hometown. More than any other place, even though I've lived in Seattle now for 28 years, I guess. It's where I first got into debt to myself in terms of unprocessed feelings. And so it's where I needed to start. It was my first big balloon payment to myself.
Whoa, wait, I've never heard anyone say that before, where you first got into debt with yourself. Like, say more.
I feel like maybe by having strong feelings that we don't process, that we push down, that's, I think, the simplest form of debt that we can get in. And I think all other debt seems like it might flow from that debt. I was driving down in Phoenix, and the idea struck me that I needed to process my feelings about the place in some big project. And I said, okay. And having done this first installment, it really does feel like I'm not in debt to myself as badly as I was.
The idea of loneliness and companionship comes up so much on the album. And we're going to hear you perform the song Quietest Friend. And I think that everyone, when you hear this song, everyone can think of a moment from their childhood where they treated somebody else in a way that would make them feel embarrassed now. So do you mind talking a little bit about the moment that you are digging back up from your own childhood on Quietest Friend?
This was the first memory when I was kind of taking stock and investigating it, are there enough things to populate a record? This was the first or second one that I took stock of, because it's maybe the one that has that I've revisited the most, that has revisited me the most. Yeah, the memory played similarly, if not exactly, to what it does in the song. I was late to lunch, and probably 10 minutes late, and everybody was in full swing by the time I got there. And there was a circular table with, you know, 6 or 8 fifth grade dudes, and a buddy, close buddy, quiet kid that lived in an adjacent neighborhood to me. And we had struck up a friendship apart from school, which I was very desperate for. I walked up and everybody was saying, you know, this thing. I forget what the insult was, but I had sort of penned a generic insult, like, wouldn't it be funny if blah, blah, blah. And somebody had turned it on this friend. And I was just so blown away to be kind of accepted. And my friend James needed me to unequivocally deny and say, yes, he was right at the edge. You know, yes, this wasn't about him. I hadn't done it. But I said, yeah, I had said it about him. And it was a big, big mistake. it crushed my friend. And I just did it for some approval, you know. It was a drug that I desperately needed at that point, and I took it.
To not be lonely. Like, it sounds like you, like, loneliness was such a big thing when you were a kid. Have you reconciled with James, or has he heard the song? Do you know?
I don't know. All of our moving, which becomes a theme on some of these later records, caused me to not really be able to keep up with people. I just had to kind of shut it off and move on. And so I'm not really sure.
Well, let's hear the song. Performing live here at World Cafe, this is Pedro the Lion. Such a touching song. That is Quietest Friend, Pedro the Lion, performing for us here at World Cafe. I'm talking to David Bazan, who is from Pedro the Lion. He writes all the songs and he sings them. You had said at the beginning of our chat that part of this record was settling debt. There's a couple of different ways that people deal with debt, and one of them is that you pay off the debt, and then another one is that the debt is forgiven.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I wonder if...
I love that. Yeah. I'm going to work with that. That's awesome.
Oh, good. Well, it just, everything that you're saying, like, it sounds like you might owe yourself a bit of forgiveness for the debt rather than payback in all of these situations.
Well, that's very true. And that's where I'm at now is, you know, you do understand if you're going back and trying to get out of debt to yourself, that what you need is kindness. Because to sit and experience those feelings means to experience some pain. And along with that often comes shame and judgment. And you just need kindness and more kindness. There isn't a lot of that in our culture. Debt forgiveness. It's sort of antithetical to some sort of American ideal, even though it's really deeply embedded in the Christian tradition of old anyways. But yeah, it's not that present here, so it's easy to forget. I thank you for reminding me.
It's a pleasure. I thank you for the things that your album has reminded me of. So we're square.
Yeah.
On as you bring up the idea of Christianity, I know that some people thought of Pedro the Lion as a Christian band in the beginning. There were people who would have said that, and you've talked a little bit about that part of your upbringing. Can you just, I guess, say a little bit about how that manifests for you now, like what your thoughts are on your upbringing?
Well, I've stopped some years ago, stopped believing in the sort of the doctrines and the creeds of the tradition that I grew up in, evangelical Christianity, and am somewhat of an agnostic, I guess. And early on, it was difficult. I mean, that's a difficult thing to pull off. Unfortunately, it functions as an authoritarian kind of system, and to extricate yourself from that and without just burning every bridge and starting a new life is very tricky. And initially I was quite a bit more defensive, or I needed stronger boundaries. But as I've been writing this record, I've just been softening to, I don't know, to everything in a way. Not that I am a Christian again or believe in God or anything, but there's going back with this kindness to myself and to the people who raised me, who I love so much. It's enabling me to sort of see the beauty, the deep beauty in how I grew up, right alongside the deep distortion and dysfunction that, you know, culturally has caused me a lot of pain. It's a culture where it really revolves around people not really feeling their feelings. It's embedded in the culture in such insidious ways. And I can see them both. I can help myself in the ways that the culture failed me, and I can see all the ways in which the culture and the people that raised me so earnestly loved me and love people and really try to do right the best that they know how.
I read somewhere that you sort of started to really grapple with faith when your daughter was born. For many people, like, seeing childbirth is a thing that deepens their faith, or even makes them, like you hear lots of people who are not religious as grownups, and then they're like, oh, I've had a kid, I have to go back to these traditions and raise them, like, go through all these religious rituals. And I'm so interested in the fact that for you, it seemed to have an opposite effect. Why?
It really disrupted the story of original sin for me. I, as a responsible party for this very vulnerable thing that had come into the world, I really couldn't imagine a scenario in which I would cast her away from me for even a grievous, violent sin. I wouldn't cast her away from me. Much less just a simple disobedience over, like, a thing, like an apple or whatever. I just would hold her in my arms and just think, I really don't understand or can't respect or love a being who acted as the character in Genesis acted toward Adam and Eve and all the people that, that followed in that book. The story is I don't like that person. I if that person exists and is in charge of everything, I'm going to be really bummed. But looking around, I don't really think that they are.
On the last song that we're going to hear you perform, called Powerful Taboo, you sing some lyrics that I seem to me to be inspired by your experience of Christianity. And in particular, I'm thinking about, I refuse to be that separate from the flesh of my own flesh and the blood of my own blood. And it's interesting in the context of this album where some of the songs are sort of from the perspective of you being a little kid, growing up in Phoenix. And that sounds like a really adult reflection on what you might have felt like when you were a kid. So can you tell me a little bit about that line?
Yeah, Powerful Taboo. It was unclear initially what it was. I think it had a little bit more to do specifically with sex when I first thought of it. But as I started thinking more deeply about it, I realized that the taboo that I'm talking about is the taboo of feeling your feelings. There's a lot of verses and admonitions within the culture that I grew up in to distrust yourself, to distrust your body, to distrust your feelings, that you were corrupted and that your heart was, you know, desperately wicked. I can look back and see how I slowly got more and more in debt to myself, more and more disconnected. And it was this taboo of trusting myself. You know, I didn't know how to. I thought it was wrong to. I think that may be the most damaging part of the way that I grew up.
Well, let's hear the song, if you would.
Yeah.
That's a powerful happen. I refuse to be that separate from the flesh of my own flesh and the blood of my own blood. The powerful taboo. That's a powerful taboo. Don't let them take your wits from you. That's a powerful taboo. That's a...
Pedro the Lion with Powerful Taboo. That is from their new record. It's called Phoenix. David Bazan is from Pedro the Lion. I just have one more question before I let you go. Have your folks heard that song or the record? Like, I imagine if these ideas are coming up for you, they would spark some pretty interesting discussions with the people who raised you.
Yeah. I've played it for my dad, and I'm pretty sure I played pieces of it for my mom. They both really like the record. You know, we haven't yet unpacked some of the lyrics. I'm anxious. I don't want to hurt them, you know. But I know that this process probably can't help but cause them some pain. And I just hope that we have enough kindness all around to go through that.
But we are going to leave it there. David, really have enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I've enjoyed it too.
There you go. Pedro the Lion's album is called Phoenix. I hope that David makes good on that promise and gives us four more based on places that he's lived or grown up or that were important to him in his life. What a great guy. Thank you, David. Thanks also to KCSN engineers Tristan Dolce and Matt Blake for engineering this session for us. We really appreciate it. I'm Talia Schlinger. Oh, yeah, thanks to our senior producer, Kimberly Junod, who did an amazing job, as always, editing this session. You are listening to World Cafe.